the side of the car, across the front of it, and jump right off the side of the bridge in front of you.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel, and alongside of me is my dad, Brian Merkel, and we got a great show planned for you today. But before we get into that, I want to let you know, if you have a wild or crazy experience from the road, whether you're a trucker, a police officer, a fireman, an EMT, if you drive for a living and you have some wild, crazy experiences, we want to hear about it on Hammer Lane Legends. And all you got to do is shoot us an email. Email us at hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. But before we get into today's show, we want to talk to you about LaneFinder. LaneFinder is a partner of the show, and it is the truck driving job finding app for you. If you're a driver out there and you are looking for a job, I know there's a lot of drivers working overtime right now, but there's also a lot of drivers that are getting laid off right now. If you're one of those drivers that's looking for another place of employment because you got laid off or let go because of the economy, LaneFinder app is the app for you. Because what you do is you go on there, you fill out your profile, you fill out your information, and LaneFinder will notify you every time there's a job that fits your criteria of a job that you're looking for. And it's one of the best ways to ensure that you're going to get first dibs at a job as soon as it's posted. So go ahead and download the LaneFinder app. In the description of this episode, you'll see the link. Hit the link and it will redirect you to either your Apple store or your Android store, where you can download the link. And when you use the link that we provide, LaneFinder knows that you came from our audience and they say thanks to us. So thank you very much for doing that if that interests you. Today we have Josh coming on the show, and Josh runs the YouTube channel called This Guy Trucks. And Josh has been spending time building up an audience where he shares his opinions on the trucking industry. And we bring on Josh today to talk about the trucking industry, where it's at today, where it's going in the future. And Josh shares some of his stories that he's experienced from the road. So without any further delay, let's bring on Josh right now. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. You are listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony, and alongside of me is my dad, Brian. Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good, man. So, listen, we have an interesting show planned for everybody. We don't have just a truck driver, but we have a truck driver that kind of falls in the same line of thinking as we do as podcasters. We're content creators, and he is a YouTuber, and he kind of videos his whole life journey and stuff as a truck driver and shares a lot of insight with other drivers in the industry. And his name is Josh. Josh, how you doing, man?
Hey, good, man. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great. So, Josh, before we get going, because I know I'm going to wind up forgetting to do this, why don't you let people know how they can find you on YouTube?
My YouTube channel name is This Guy Trucks. Just type that in there and you'll be able to find me. Yeah, that's it. This Guy Trucks with an exclamation mark at the end, if that helps.
Okay. So what got you going on the YouTube thing? Actually, before we get into that, let's talk to you a little bit about how you got into truck driving. Everybody kind of has a little bit of a different story on why they started, how they got into it, and things like that. What's your little background story as to what got you going and driving truck, man?
Okay, yeah, it's kind of a long story. When I was a kid, we lived out on a feedlot out here in Colorado, and you'd watch those, you know, those old Peterbilts just rumbling down the road, you know, hauling cattle. And, you know, I'd watch them every day. And I thought that was pretty cool. But what had happened, I was actually working in the IT field for roughly 10 years. And I'd sit there on the graveyard shift watching YouTube trucking channels, thinking, man, that's really cool. These guys just out there on the road. You know, I'm in a cubicle, someone behind me all the time watching me, making sure, you know, he's answering enough calls. He's, you know, hitting these numbers. I'm like, man, how cool would that be to be out on the road and just kind of, you know, minding your own business, doing your own thing, right? And I did that for about 10 years or so, and I got laid off. And that was my shot right there when I got laid off. They, you know, got the, you know, severance, unemployment, all that stuff. And I went down to the unemployment office to see sort of what kind of options I had, what I could do. And it turns out there's a grant, the, what's that called? Workforce Investment Act, I believe it is. And they paid for me to go to truck driving school. And so I made that leap from, you know, sitting in a cubicle to, you know, this whole other world of being a truck driver. And that's how I got started in it. So, yeah, I sort of saw that opportunity and jumped on it when I had the chance there.
That's really interesting, Josh. And the thing is, like, when getting involved in the trucking industry, sometimes you really don't know what you're truly getting into. I mean, you saw the YouTube videos, you saw, you know, truckers out on the road, things like that. And I think that sometimes people can fantasize about the job in the industry and think it's something that it's not. Did you have like a rude awakening moment or anything once you got your CDL?
Yeah, it was definitely a culture shock for me. Even going through school, my instructor was, you know, a much older truck driver, and he was almost talking in a language I didn't understand going through school, like this, you know, old trucker slang. And I'm like, man, I don't know what I just got myself into. So even learning just, you know, what he was saying, and then, you know, you get into it's just a whole other culture, man, than, you know, than what I was used to. It certainly was a culture shock for me getting into it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, even when I hear truckers talk now and stuff, I don't even know what's going on sometimes with what they're saying, because I'm like, it's like a whole new world for me. I don't know what they're saying, because like I think the lingo actually changes over time and stuff. So there's slang that it was used by guys from, you know, 30 years ago that I have no idea what they're talking about right now.
Right. I absolutely agree. I still don't. I've been driving trucks for around 7 years now, and just trying to have a conversation with some guys, I'm like, I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah. Now, so I'm assuming that the YouTube channel was birthed even before you started driving truck, just from watching the YouTube channels, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a weird story in itself. I started doing the YouTube channel back when I was still in the IT field, and it was a completely different channel. I did gaming on it. I'm way into, well, was back when I had time. You don't have a whole lot of time when you start driving a truck. But I was into a lot of the sports games like Madden and MLB The Show. And that's what my channel was, before I started driving a truck. And then it made that transition, you know, a few years later.
Oh, so you actually had a YouTube channel that you were doing other stuff on before you were driving truck?
Yeah. Yeah. Same exact channel. I've just taken down, all the old videos off of it. Yep.
I got you. Okay. And so when did you start your YouTube channel?
In general, or the trucking portion of it?
The trucking portion.
Well, the trucking, I was out on the road, because I was a local driver for a few years before I ever went, over the road, which is kind of interesting if you think about it, because a lot of people will tell you, you have to go be an over the road driver before you can ever go local. I sort of did it backwards. I was local, before, so I didn't pay much attention to the channel, but then, my first job over the road, excuse me, I was out there for, well, maybe a month or so. And I was like, man, I'm just kind of bored. There's no one to talk to. I'm going to go ahead and put out a video on trucking and see if anybody responds to that. And just kind of, you know, let it play out from there. And, you know, it's doing all right. But it was sort of a rough transition. My first few videos, it was just subscribers were just dropping. And that took about a year. It took about a year to stop losing subscribers and finally start gaining. So it was kind of a weird transition for me, for sure.
Yeah, you know, I was watching one of your videos, and you mentioned about watch time. I forget what video it was, but you in passing, you mentioned about the watch time, I guess you being a watch time Nazi or something. And so it clearly, at that point, I was like, he pays attention on how the watch time's going and all that, because you know that there are certain things that are turnoffs for people. And one of the things that is talked about is, you know, 15, 20 minutes, anything longer than that, people get bored and they turn it off. Is that what you've heard?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, because it's a, sort of about knowing who your audience is. If you do, you know, a half hour video on, I don't know, pick a topic, on something else, but with it being trucking, a lot of guys are truckers also. So you can sort of do a longer format video and they're just going to, you know, turn it on in their truck and let it play. I was doing, when I first started doing trucking videos, I would do about maybe a 8 to 10 minute video. And then I thought about it, well, maybe, you know, these guys are out there on the road too, when they're bored. Maybe if I do a 20, 25 minute video, let's see how that works. And actually it's worked out really well for me. A lot of guys are out in the truck, you know, they've been out there for a month and they're like, man, I got no one to talk to. And they'll just sort of let it play. Sort of knowing who your audience is and how long you can make a video.
Yeah, Dad, let me ask you a question. Did you ever think about shooting a YouTube video or something like that while you're out on the road? Because Josh, my dad, him and I drive for the same company. We both drive for an LTL carrier, Pitt, Ohio, in the Northeast. And I did the same thing as you, man. Like, I started local. I've never done over the road. I got in because, you know, I got in because my dad's been there for, you know, since the dawn of time. So,
yeah. All right.
But Dad, have you ever thought about, you know, doing YouTube videos or anything like that? I know you're podcasting now, but have you ever thought about YouTube?
You know what? The funny thing is that I never did. I never thought about it. It's really kind of weird. I never even thought about any of the IT stuff until you started doing your podcast stuff. So it's kind of like, this is all totally new to me, but I did the exact same thing, Josh. I was a security systems installer years ago, and I got laid off and I didn't know what else to do with my life. And I was like, I need to find something to do. I have a wife and kids. So I went to truck driving school in 93 and I started driving in 93 and I've been driving since. And I never went over the road. I've always done local jobs. And then I got into the company I'm in now in 97. So I've been here since, you know, time immemorial. For me, it's just been forever. But I was told the exact same stuff. You've got to be over the road. You've got to do the over road thing and get your experience that way. And I didn't. I never did. And yeah, I'm kind of glad I never did, but that's okay. That's a story for another time.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm sure we'll go through it as we go through this. But if you guys, I don't know how much you've watched, but a lot of my channel is about, we don't necessarily have to do things the old way. Let's, you know, think about how trucking is moving forward. And just because, and no disrespect to the old truckers out there, but just because an old trucker said that's the way it is, maybe you can, you know, look at a different way and, you know, sort of do things different. Definitely. I disagree that you have to be an over the road driver before you ever go local. I've never bought into that narrative at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I agree. Things are changing. Times are changing. And, you know, trucking has to kind of catch up with that too. And even not trucking itself, but the mindset behind it.
The mindset, absolutely. You know, this is the only industry I've ever worked in that it feels like it intentionally holds itself back because the employees, the drivers, you know, refuse to move forward with the times. And for me, that, like I said, I don't know how much you guys have watched, but that's a major point of frustration when I go through my videos.
Yes, yes. The paradigm has got to change in the trucking industry. You know, just the, like I said, that mindset is just so old timey. And it's just the way things are today. It's a different world. This is not the old class A, you know, class one, two, and three licenses and all that stuff. It's just a whole different way of thinking now. And, you know, there's no shame in not being an over the road truck driver. You know, there's no shame in not starting out that way. I think it's fine. That's how I started out. That's, you know, that's how you started out. That's how Tony started out.
Right, right. I mean, right now I'm local. Are you guys familiar with I-70 in Colorado over the mountains? It seems like every truck driver's heard horror stories about that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I've definitely heard the stories about it. So, but
so yeah, I've ran that all winter this year. You know, you're talking about throwing chains two times a day. You know, it's just it's a nightmare out there, right? But a major sticking point of people that watch my videos is that my truck's an automatic. Right now, I know how to shift. I got my CDL before this restriction existed, but you'll hear stuff like, man, you're not even a real trucker. You can't shift. And I kind of just laugh at that because I go, man, you guys wouldn't survive a day, a week of wintertime, you know, running up here with me throwing chains. But it's interesting that you continue to, you know, push the idea that I'm not a real trucker. And that's a lot of what I do on my channel, discuss things like that for sure.
Yeah. You know, Josh, it kind of reminds me of one of the videos I saw you talking about was the automatic chains. And I imagine that, because like that's something that honestly I don't think I ever saw before you. Because I mean, I don't chain up where I live and stuff like you do, and so I never heard of automatic chains. And then you showed how it all operates and stuff, and I thought it was pretty cool. But I imagine even that is probably like old time truckers are probably like, "That's for sissies. Get out there and chain them up the right way." You know?
Yes, absolutely. I hear that a lot. There is a downside to auto chains. They do have a tendency to break pretty easily. Mine broke through most of the winter, and my boss just got them fixed. I'm like, hey, good on you guys. You're handling those winter problems in spring. You guys are on the ball over here. You know, but they were broke through most of the winter. But when they work, they are amazing. And you flip a switch and you keep rolling down the road and you never have to get out and get cold. But yeah, I've heard that a lot of times. Why don't you get out there and throw iron like a real trucker and stuff like that? It's like, you know what? I got stuff to do outside of my job. I'd rather flip that switch and continue on my day.
Yeah, I totally get it. And yeah, I mean, if anybody listening doesn't know, because I didn't know, it's literally just a toggle switch that you flip in the truck, and then like these arms come down and the roller goes up against the tire, and from your tires spinning, it rolls the rollers, which are have chains attached that spin and swing underneath your tire as your tire rolls over the chain. And it's a very interesting system, but I definitely can see how it could break easily.
they sure do. If you go anything over 30, that includes 31 miles per hour, you run the risk of it just ripping those chains out, and then you're out there, you know, throwing chains the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. Do you carry a spare set of chains and stuff for that reason?
I sure do. Yep, absolutely.
Makes sense. Yeah, man. So you talked about the industry and how, you know, there's the new drivers versus the old drivers, and we're talking about some of the tech and stuff. Do you see the technology being introduced into the industry as a hindrance or as a very helpful tool, or maybe a little bit of both? And I'm talking about like the things that the trucks are actually coming with now. You know, like obviously, like automatics is definitely one of those things where we're advancing in technology. And like right. you said, there's a lot of people that don't like the idea of automatic tractors. And, you know, I enjoy shifting gears. My truck at work, I shift the gears, but we're getting a lot of automatics, and you know, eventually it's only a matter of time till I'm driving an automatic. And when that day comes, I'm gonna say, well, at least I can drink my coffee and steer at the same time, you know. So it's gonna be great.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's hard to say, man. It's one of those things. It depends what trucking companies do, you know what I mean? Right now, as far as an automatic truck goes, they're gonna keep paying us the same, right? If you ever get to the point where it's almost fully automated and you're just going to sit there and monitor it, which is quite a few years off, right? That I give it, by my estimates, which I'm not necessarily qualified to answer, but I'd say we're 20 years off from that. But I feel like the trucking companies will go, well, you're just sitting there, so we can kind of pay you less. You know what I mean? So in that case, I think that may be a bad thing for drivers. But right now, with the technology we have, yeah, anything to make your job easier. You know, it's a hard job being a truck driver. So if you can have things that make it a little easier, automatic transmissions, auto chains, I think those are all good things. And I don't think they make you, you know, any less of a driver because you're taking advantage of those things.
No, I actually agree with that 100%. Like I said, I've been doing it for a long time. And one of the things that I that I have found, and the truck that I drive is still a standard transmission. And it's not that Friday night I wound up using an automatic truck. And actually sometimes it is nice to have that. Now I drive at night, so the amount of traffic that I see is a lot less than what Tony sees during the daytime, you know, going from company to company. I just do line haul between terminals. And I like shifting gears. I guess it's just because I've been doing it for so long. But it's not that I look down on the whole industry, because I think it's a great thing that they're you know, making changes, that things are progressing forward, and that the industry itself hasn't just stalled where it was at. It's like we said earlier, it's getting the mindset of people to change to where they can actually look at this as, hey, you're still doing a job that is, you know, so many times you get the impression that people think you're just sitting there, you know, shining a seat with your rear end all night long, to say it in a nice way. It's not, you know, but there's a reality to it that it's a stressful job and it's a hard job. And what we do is not just a simple job. You know, you're responsible for 80,000 pounds rolling down the road, regardless of whether you're shifting gears or it's shifting them for you. And that's one of the things that I see as a frustration, is that there should never be a time where we look down on a fellow truck driver as less than because they don't shift gears or because they have an automatic, or even if they've gone to school and they never learned, because nowadays, I mean, how many people are learning to even drive the standard transmission? You know, it's one of those things.
No one.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with that 100%. And it doesn't mean they're any less than what I am because I shift gears. At some point, my truck's going to have too many miles, and the company's going to change trucks, and I'm going to wind up with an automatic. And that's the way it's going to be, because they're not buying any that are standard. You know, it's just the way it is. So we got to move forward with it and still be proud of what we do. There's no reason not to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I got actually kind of an interesting story about that. I had our company riding with me just a couple nights ago, because I had to go have a little surgery here last week. So he was going to cover my route for me. Brand new to our company. And, you know, we're crossing the mountains and stuff like that. And it's a common thing I hear on my channel, is I like automatics, but you can't drive over mountains with them. And I think that comes from people that don't know where exactly I run. But this guy was telling me the same thing when we were driving up there. I said, I'll drive up, you can drive back, you know. And he said, when we were heading up, he said, I just don't understand how you can drive an automatic on mountains. It's dangerous. You don't have control of the truck. So I told him, I said, what I want you to do then is count how many times between Denver and Grand Junction, which is about 250 miles away across mountains. I said, count how many times I push a pedal. It doesn't matter which pedal, but how many times I touch a pedal in this truck on our way over there. And he counted one time when I pushed the brake to pull into the truck stop up there where we stopped at. So yeah, control over a truck that's automatic on mountains is completely obtainable. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question, Josh. You mentioned, we're talking about tech in the trucks and, you know, the changes in the industry. One thing that I hear a lot of drivers talk about is how over the last 20, 30 years, we've seen the world around us starting to catch up to us as far as making money. And so one time, you know, going into truck driving, you knew, yes, you're going to spend a lot of time in the truck. Yes, you're not going to see the family a whole lot, but the sacrifice was worth it because you were going to make leaps and bounds more money than people in other industries. But as time going on, those industries are catching up, and some drivers feel like the overall compensation pay for drivers has not really changed a whole lot over the years. And now you mentioned about how, you know, automation coming and how that could actually decrease our pay maybe one day. Do you think that there is anything that we could do to help promote the idea of truckers being less expendable, other than, you know, not going fully automation? You know, because I kind of agree with you as far as what you were saying and stuff. I mean, I think I'm very big on the automation thing. Not that I'm a fan of it, but that I'm very big on the reality of it. And I think that it is going to change the industry, and along with just how we live in the world. I mean, once fully automated trucks get here, that means that the rest of the society has already been there. And so I think that when that day comes, it could really hurt our wallets. Do you think that there's anything that we could do from that day hurting so bad, or you think it's inevitable?
Yeah, I really don't think there's anything we as drivers could do. Think about these, mega carriers, Swift, name them, right? If they ever get the opportunity to put a fully automated truck on the road and replace the driver, they're absolutely going to. Interesting thing, I think, times like right now, what we're dealing with, of course, truck drivers were considered essential right now. We've proven that you need us right now. But if we ever get to the point of complete automation, I think it's time we all look at another field at that point. But as you said, the rest of the world has already probably been automated by then. You're talking about, you go order fast food right now, you can do it at a kiosk. You don't need, a person there in front of you. If you go buy groceries, you can do it that way. So I guess I find a little bit of comfort in knowing that if we ever get to that point, there's already millions of people that already had to figure it out, and we might not have to figure it out as much because that path's already been sort of figured out, I guess. So, yeah, I don't think how can I explain that? I don't think there's much we can do. If a trucking company can figure out how to do that, they will. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, watching the things that I've seen over the past 26, 27 years doing this, there is nothing that the driver can do other than roll with it, see where it goes. And, the thing that we really have to understand is that other opportunities open up, other doors open up, other venues open up, other means of making a living will open up as this whole industry progresses. And, I know it's easy for me to sit here and say that, in 20 years, because I agree with you, I think we're at a kind of like a 20-year window. No, I'm not I'm just a professional truck driver. I'm not an IT guy. I don't, I'm not Elon Musk or anything else. I'm just a guy doing a job. And but it seems to me that we're probably a 20-year window of opportunity for this thing, and then it's going to be automated. And I look at it like there will be other pathways that will open up, because everything creates another path, another venue, another way of making a living. There's just a reality to that. Now, for myself, in 20 years, I'll be retired. At least I'm hoping to be retired. And, I keep telling my wife, when I'm done driving, I'm done driving. I'll be a greeter at Walmart if I need something, to do part time. I don't want, I love driving, but I don't want to do it when I'm retired. But, I kind of agree with you there. I think, it is inevitable. But I also think that there's going to be other ways. There's going to be other venues, other pathways for us to go, for the guys who are driving now. That's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I think that's the struggle with truck drivers, though, because you, even as a local driver, I'm sure you guys put in plenty of hours driving local. It's not a job. It's your life, right? You give your life to this job. You really do. So when you look at it and go, well, one day somebody is going to come up with a way to take this away from you, that's where drivers panic. And, then you get angry comments on your YouTube channel because you decided to mention it.
Well, I'll tell you, Josh, it's a reality, right? And so it's looking at the world around us and understanding what is happening in technology around us, and being truthful and honest with yourself. And when you hear leaders of those industries that are pushing for automation saying that the transportation industry will be the first one affected, you should take it serious and just, not try hiding from what they're trying to do, but just, understand the fact of the matter is this is where the world's trying to go. And whether you like it or not, you should try to be prepared for it. And, absolutely. With that idea, do you look at your YouTube channel as a side hustle that maybe one day could sustain you or something? Or is it just purely a hobby that you just do because it's fun and it gives you something to do to pass time while you're on the road?
Oh boy, that's such a tough question. I actually am planning a video here pretty soon, probably tomorrow. My YouTube channel, doesn't speak to all truckers. It speaks to a very specific audience. That's why it's not as big as it could be. I know exactly how to make a YouTube channel much bigger than mine is. I could talk about things like how ELDs have ruined our lives and, like we talked about earlier, how people that drive automatics aren't real truckers. And I could completely blow up that YouTube channel. But I speak to a very specific audience that understands that the world is changing and moving forward, and we're not here forever, right? So it being a side hustle after trucking stops, boy, it just depends what kind of following I have at that point, I guess. If I could transition it into something else that people would still watch, then it'd be okay. But if I can't, then, you know, it will definitely fail at that point.
Yeah, I did an interview. I was on another trucking podcast called Big Rig Banter, and shout out to them. They're actually local to me. And they brought me on to talk about truckers with side hustles because, Josh, you may not even know this, but I have another podcast that I started 3 years ago before this one, totally different topic of conversation. And, you know, they brought me on to talk about truck drivers who pursue side hustles. And that's one of the things I kind of mentioned on that interview is that, you know, we spend so much time away from our families, and sometimes, you know, it gets hard, and it's hard on a family, and there's no shame in trying to do something on the side to create extra income to alleviate the stress of having to work so many hours or take so many long runs. And then, you know, who knows, maybe one day that turns into a full-time income. You can be around your family more. But right. The bottom line is planning ahead. And this is kind of what you were talking about earlier with being a modern, a more 2020 trucker, where like we really do need a plan. I don't know how old you are. I'm 34, but we really need to plan ahead as far as, you know, what our future holds. I mean, 30 years from now, I'm going to be 64 years old and I'm not going to be retirement age yet. I'm probably going to be kicked out of an industry that I'm in now because of technology. And so what am I going to do then? And so it's one of those things where I push hard with, you know, fellow truckers is that, you know, you don't have to be a podcaster, you don't have to be a YouTuber, but find something that you really enjoy doing outside of trucking and just pursue it on the side. And maybe it's just a hobby, but maybe one day it generates some income where, say, the industry changes. Maybe you can't do it full time, but if you get another job somewhere else that's not paying what you used to make driving truck, but thank God you have the side hustle where it makes a little bit of money where you can sustain yourself. I don't think there's any harm in thinking that way.
Right. No, I totally agree. I have plenty of side things and then I forget I have them. And then, you know, then I'm doing nothing with them. My wife bought me a sweet drum set for Christmas, and then I forgot it was sitting over there in the corner and haven't touched it in months. But the point is, yeah, you should always be working on something else. If you're counting on trucking, you mentioned your age. I'm 30. I have to think about that. 37. Yeah, this will not hold me over forever. It absolutely won't. One thing, and don't take my advice. I'm not an expert on anything like this, but right now, I've looked at the market. This is a really good time to invest because the market's just destroyed right now. It's way down. So what I'm doing is just, you know, anytime I get extra money, it's going in there. If you look back on history, the Great Depression created more millionaires than any other event in human history. And we're kind of looking that way right now. So I'm looking heavily at investing. The YouTube channel, of course, if it can make that transition or not. But yeah, you should plan ahead. If you're a trucker right now, you definitely should. A young trucker right now that's not looking at retirement soon.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really good advice. And you know what? The funny thing is here I am. I'm 52. And I'm looking at, you know, retirement in the next hopefully less than 20 years, but we'll see what happens. But, you know, that's even the advice that is good for young people today all the way around. You know, whether you're a truck driver or not, that's good advice. Get involved in some kind of investing. Start looking into things. Learn something more than what your trade is, because it's going to pay off dividends in the long run for you all the way around. I don't think there's anything bad about that at all. The only thing that saddens me about watching that, you know, other than the millions of jobs that will be lost when this industry at some point, you know, diminishes, is all the stories that are out there for truck drivers, you know, from truck drivers about what they see on the road. That's one of the things our podcast will one day, you know, wind up going the way of the dodo because, you know, there'll be no more truck driver stories. You know, that's what makes this thing so interesting, this job so interesting, is what you see on the road, is how you experience life, and, you know, experiencing life from behind the windshield and sitting behind a steering wheel, the things that you see and the life that you experience that way and the people that you're able to meet. You know, I think that's just one of those things that's going to be sorely missed when all this is over. And I know we're talking way down the road. We're looking, you know, 20 years or so down the road or more. But it's still one of those things that hopefully I'm around to watch. And yet at the same time, I don't want, you know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to see it. And yet at the same time, I hope I'm here long enough to see, you know, another 20 years of watching my grandkids grow and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Portion of trucking is the people you meet. I one day decided I was going to do an animated series on trucking. I've since scrapped that idea. It turns out I don't have the skill set to do it. but you know, the people you meet, like in my head, it was just this sort of like Family Guy or Simpsons type thing where you could, everybody out there is a character, you know? So I was going to try that. It's a huge part of this job is just like, wow, that guy was something else, man. And I got a story to tell just on that guy I just met, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you mentioned about the investing and, you know, yeah, we're not going to give any financial advice to anybody or tell anybody what to invest in. But I'll tell you what, if I had extra cash to invest personally, this is me talking, nobody else. This isn't even me saying you should do this, but I'd be like, Carnival Cruises, let me invest in them because I'm pretty sure they're right. going to bounce back hard when this is all gone. And so right now they're in the gutters, but I can't imagine a world where everybody is scared to go on a cruise because once upon a time there was a virus. And so eventually that's going to come back. And when it comes back, you'll be glad that you invested. I think, I don't even remember what the number was when I last checked it, but they are tanking. And so it's just like, if I had money, I'd be like watching it tank. It turns up, invest. And I'd take it, you know, so.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, don't take my advice. I don't know what I'm doing, but I had recently, put some money into, the restaurant Texas Roadhouse. Cause I'm going, man, people aren't allowed to go in there and eat. They're probably taking a hit on their business. And sure enough, their stocks were down. I said, man, I better put some money in that because as soon as people are allowed outside again, I'm going to get that money back. And then some, you know? So just that's one of the things of being a trucker, sitting in the truck all night by yourself. You start to think about stuff like that. And you're like, oh, you know what? Here's what's being affected right now. So, yeah, you got to jump in on stuff like that for sure.
That's that you can speak to this more than me and Josh. The curse of a trucker is that you have all the time in the world to think about things, but no time to do things.
That is the truth. Unfortunately, that's the truth. But you know what? That's okay because you have a lot of time to think. You know what? I'll be honest with you. This whole podcasting thing didn't even come up in my own life until you started doing your podcast, Tony.
Yeah.
And then I all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, that's kind of cool. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but I left XM Go this year. I mean, I figured why spend the money on something like that when I can listen to podcasts? And that's what I've been doing all night, you know, for the past year since you started, about a year and a half. When after you started your show, I started listening to that. And then I found other shows. And it's the world we live in. It's fast paced. I mean, the world we are living in is moving forward. Even when it comes to, we're talking about investing right now. We're talking about investing in stocks and things like that. I mean, how much easier can it be when you, and believe me, there, you know, none of these platforms are getting, this is not free. I guess this is free advertisement for them, but you know, you got all these platforms like, Robinhood and all these other ones that you hear on podcasts and commercials now where it's easy for just the average person to get engaged in it. It's not like it used to be when I was younger, you know, I mean, it was a whole world of difference from what it is today, you know. So this technology that we're experiencing now, the technology boom that we're seeing happening in our time, even with when it comes to investing and when it comes to truck driving, is a plus for everybody, you know, because it makes it that the average guy or girl out there with you know, $5, $10 or whatever, they can get involved in this and put something into their own futures and start looking ahead. And that's the thing, is to get people to look ahead, you know, get this generation looking ahead and planning ahead for themselves, because, you know, every job is going to be affected at some point or another by technology. That's the way it is. I mean, I experienced that in the 90s with the security systems and wound up driving trucks, You know, you experienced it in the IT industry, Josh, and here you are, you're driving trucks. You know, it's everything leads to something else is what I'm saying. So, you know, start looking, you know, if I can encourage anybody to start doing that. You know, if I can do anything is encourage this generation of truck drivers and this generation of young people to start looking ahead like that.
Right. Yeah. And that's something you see a lot in trucking. I remember I was in an orientation one time for a flatbed company. It was about a week long orientation. And there was a 22-year-old guy sitting behind me just out of trucking school. And no matter what the instructor would say, this 22-year-old dude would say, well, yeah, if it wasn't for the ELDs, though, we could be out there and we could be making money and we could be rolling. And he had that response to everything the instructor said. So after about a week of listening to this guy, I guess I finally just snapped. And I was like, dude, okay, listen, you don't even know a world outside of ELDs. You just walked out of trucking school. But learn to work with this and realize this is your future. You know, all this crying about if we can keep paper logs or not is going to do you no favors going forward. And if I learned anything from the IT industry was if you don't keep up, then you get left behind.
Yes.
And, you know, just try to, you know, explain that to them. You got to stop, you know, complaining about these ELDs. It's not the end of the world. The way I feel about ELDs is they're actually really nice when you're an over-the-road driver, because companies will try to book you loads that you can't possibly do within the time you have. And it protects you because you can go, I'm out of time. Tough luck, find someone else to do it, you know. So it's really weird to watch young guys come into the industry and embrace the old ideas, because they're not going to make it as technology continues to advance on them.
Yeah. And I think they're piggybacking off of what they heard, because they have no real experience with it. And so they hear older drivers complaining about it and they're piggybacking off of it, because more than likely they're just following in their footsteps. But you're absolutely right. This is something I plan on teaching my son. My son, he's 2 years old. And one of the things I want to teach him is that growing up in a world that we live in today, and that's going to advance even more by the time I'm old and gray and he's an adult, you have to remain flexible. And that is huge for when it comes to us truckers, because our industry is changing by the year. Every year we have new DOT regulations, we have new rules, the companies implement new rules, and you have to remain flexible, because if you're not flexible, you will get left behind or let go, because the drivers who are not flexible tend to be the ones that are pain in the butt the most, and they wind up getting let go. And so if you just, it saves you a lot of headache and stuff when you just pursue life with flexibility and try to just make the best of the situation, whether you agree with it or not, because a lot of these things are out of our hands. It's not like we chose to do these things. It was kind of given to us. And just a side note for anybody listening that isn't a truck driver, ELD is what we're talking about, is the electronic logs that have been implemented into truck driving over the last, you know, several years. And it's now a requirement, instead of us drivers doing paper logs where we literally write down where we stopped and the hours that we put in and everything, it's all electronically done. So there is no fibbing on it. There is no manipulating the books or anything like that. You have to, you know, it is what it is, because it clocks it for you through GPS.
Right.
So Josh, you mentioned about, you know, a lot of different things here, but some of the things that you were talking about, especially with the economy and things, what you're talking about, you're hinting at the idea of what's going on right now. And as of late March, when we're recording this, which is the coronavirus. And I say the date as of late March, because this coronavirus is ever changing. Every day there's a new story, there's new information. It's like, I often liken it to the idea that I'm in a basketball game right now, and we're in the first or second quarter, and we're trying to project how the game's going to end. And we have no idea, because there's a whole other half to play yet. And so there's a lot of information that we're getting and stuff, and it's affecting our industry, at least out here in the Northeast, it has for us. And I want to get your thoughts as to how it's affecting you, because my work has slowed down, and they were asking for drivers to take a layoff for a whole month. And so it got slow. And I don't know how it's affecting you guys out there.
Well, my situation is a little different than probably most would be dealing with. The guys over the road that are hauling, you know, food and water, stuff like that, toilet paper, that seems to be the hot thing right now. They're going to be fine. They'll be fine. But Me specifically, I haul auto parts, and I was worried about that at first because, well, let me try to get my thoughts in order here. At first, I was worried about it because I haul for GM, and it turns out they had stopped production on new cars, which makes sense for what I'm doing. But I figured, well, if the economy's coming down, I should be safe because people are probably going to fix their car before they buy a new car. So I should be okay. But then GM had switched over some of their production. They're still trying to work out the details with the government, stuff like that, how much money. I don't want to get too political, but I wish people would stop haggling over prices of life-saving equipment right now. But GM had switched some of their production over to the ventilators that hospitals are desperately in need of right now. So I feel like I'm going to be safe. Not any extra hours or anything like that, because the people that load our trucks are, you know, all union, and they're not going to put in over 40 hours if they can help it. But no slowdown so far, but we'll see how it goes. We'll just have to kind of roll through it and see what happens, honestly.
Yeah, we're general freight, being LTL and stuff. So we do anything and everything. And so that's why I think we're experiencing the slowdown, because a lot of customers that we pick up from are not working, or I've noticed that we have deliveries, but we're not doing a whole lot of pickups. And I think it has to do with just, you know, people aren't shipping out because their customers are closed, and it's just, it's a trickle effect. And so our industry has definitely felt it. And, you know, obviously I'm hoping that it turns around quickly and that we get back in the, like, it's funny when you are faced with the reality of a situation where you're not allowed to drive because there's not a whole lot of work for everybody. All of a sudden you want to drive and you're like, I just can't wait to get back in the truck and start shifting some gears, pushing pedals and looking out a window and turning corners. You know, it's just like,
right,
as much as we think that the job can be a pain in the butt sometimes. And, you know, there are pains in the butts with the job. When it's taken away from you, you know, abruptly like that, it's like, oh, I just want to get back in my seat. I just want to get back in my seat. Please let me get back in my seat. So,
right. No, that goes into what you were saying about sort of adapting to what's going on around you. If for some reason GM said, no, we're pulling the plug, you're all done, I wouldn't hesitate, you know, for, you know, my family and to keep a paycheck, get out on the road again, hauling groceries, food, something like that. That feels secure. But, you know, you have to be willing to roll with it and do what you have to do to keep going, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that is the thing about this industry, is that where we are right now, you know, I know we've talked about the future. We've looked at what things are going to look like in 20 years. But where we are right now, there is always something to move. You know, no matter how you slice it, right now there's something to move. So we're going to have a job. And even though things are slow, like, you know, for Tony during the daytime, you know, there's a little bit slower than for me at nighttime. You know, what I'm doing for the same company is you keep moving, you know, because you have a lot less line haul drivers than you have daytime drivers. So, you know, for my end of things haven't really, you know, and I don't mean that in any kind of lording it over anybody. It's just my job hasn't diminished yet. It I'm sure it will in time. Being prepared, being ready, and that is, you know, that's one of the aspects of what we were talking about in the investing aspect of things. And when we're mentioning that, is that, you know, that helps you to be prepared for something like this when there is a slowdown, when the economy is, you know, kind of in, I mean, I hate to say tanking, but that's the word everybody seems to use right now. You know, the economy's tanking much. I don't agree with that. I've been around long enough to see these things up and down. I've watched the industry go up and down. I've done what Tony does, and, you know, it's been busy, it's been slow, and what I do has been busy and it's been slow. It's just the way it is. You learn to be flexible with it, like Tony was saying. You learn to be flexible, and that's what you have to do. You've got to be flexible, and you've got to think for yourself, and you've got to be making yourself some plans for your future, and plans for the right now, plans for the in the moment living. You know, so I think it's going to affect us. It's going to affect the country for a little while. What we're going to, you know, things will be, it'll bounce back, and we will be back as an economy. You know, people aren't going to stop spending money. People aren't going to stop going out. And like you said, I loved your idea of investing in like the restaurants and that kind of stuff, because that's a, you know, right now they're taking a hit. But you're right. When people have the opportunity to start getting together again and socializing and going out to dinner, It's going to be big time. So, but you know, it's just the reality of where we are. It's where we're at, and it's just working through this situation, and we'll get through it. You know, I have no doubts about that. I'm not a doomsday kind of guy. So I'm just looking at it from the perspective of having at least a 52 years of experience. I'm not an ancient guy yet, but I'm old enough to know that these things come around and things cycle back and forth, and that's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, I was kind of curious, Josh, are there any stories from the road that you actually have that, you know, things that you've seen and things that you've experienced yourself? I mean, as a truck driver, you've been doing this, you know, if you've done this for 5 years, you've been out there long enough to know that there's experiences to be had in the industry. And I was curious if you've had any, you know, experiences driving.
Any experience driving? Boy, I have a ton of them. So. I'm not sure where to start. If you got maybe more of a specific question, because
what's the craziest thing you've seen out there? Let's just go with the home run hitter. We talk to drivers that have seen, you know, our very first episode, we had a guy that actually saw somebody commit suicide off a bridge. We had a guy that was volunteering to be a civilian driver in Iraq, and he had, you know, people in Iraq shooting at his truck with sniper rifles. Like, we're all over the place, man. So, like, I've never seen anything like that. So I'm sure you haven't either. But, you know, what's the craziest thing you've experienced out in the road? Like, I mean, we see some banana stuff, people going down the road the wrong way in reverse. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, man, I feel like I have something like that. And I feel like it came out of Dallas. It's always Dallas that has that wild traffic story. They're always doing something crazy down there. I'm not sure right off the top of my head. The first snowstorm over the mountains here in Colorado was pretty wild. I could tell you about my first and only trip to New York City. That was crazy.
Tell me about that. Tell me about New York City, because I'll never drive New York City.
Well, I didn't mean to. So what happened was I was running beer out of Denver. I believe it was Coors. They call it beer. I disagree. So I was running beer out of Denver. And what I would do is I would take a load out of Denver, the empty back. So I was paid round trip, right? And my dispatcher called me and said, we have a load going to Buffalo. Do you want it? And I said, Buffalo? Well, yeah, that's where the wings come from. Yeah, I'm heading to Buffalo. Let's do it, right? And he said, okay, go grab it right now and start heading out there because it's already late. So you need to, you know, grab it and start going. So I hooked up to this load and I left Denver and I just started heading towards New York, right? And ran out of time for the day. I think I decided to go I-70. From talking to other people, I-80 may have been the better choice, but I didn't know that at the time. And headed out I-70, and somewhere in Kansas, I stopped for the day. You know, I was out of hours. And I decided to look up the actual address for where I'm going, because the city name wasn't Buffalo. But you know how it is in New York. There's just these small towns around, you know, the cities out there. So, you know, I didn't think too much about it. And I look it up, and on my Google Maps, it showed this right in, you know, Queens, New York City. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? This isn't right. He said, I'm going to Buffalo. And so I'm checking other things, like I'm putting it in my, you know, you have the GPS on your ELD, and it shows the same spot, like Queens, New York. I'm like, what the hell did he just get me into? Oh boy. So I called my wife that night. I'm like freaking out. Like, I've never drove in New York City. Boy, I don't know what to do. But they gave me the load. I told them I'd take it. And I'm kind of that kind of guy. I said, I'll take the load. I never try to hand it off to someone else. All right, I'll just take it out there. So that's what it ended up being. I'm heading out to Queens in New York City. And, so the first thing that happened, see, I got all the way into New Jersey and stopped for the night and, you know, got up early the next morning to head into the city. I'm like, I'm just going to handle it. It'll be a good experience. It'll be a great story later. And I'm driving through there. And the first thing that happened is, you guys said you've never been over there?
I have not. No, I refuse to drive New York City. If it ever came up, I'd quit before I did it.
I have been there once or twice, so.
Okay. So you're going to be familiar with what I'm about to say then. The overpasses are labeled 12-foot thick. So I'm driving up, I'm driving through town, and somehow I ended up in the left lane on this interstate I'm in. And I see a sign that says all trucks must exit, and it passes me. The exit is gone. That ship has sailed. There's nothing I can do. Right. So I come around this corner and I come up along up to this overpass. Like I said, somehow I'm in the left lane. I don't know how I got there. And I come up on this overpass that's labeled 12-6, and I stop the truck and turn on my flashers, and people of New York being as kind as they are, I'll just lay on their horns. and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? So I didn't want to call the cops. I'm like, I'm going to call my dispatcher and tell him, hey, I don't know what to do. Like, you got to do something, right? And I'm just like freaking out. But one thing I've learned in the truck is anytime you're freaking out is don't move the truck. That's how you get into trouble, right?
Yes.
And so I'm picking up my phone to call my dispatcher, and a local driver of all things, which I never expected, stops in the lane next to me. He's got his window down and he goes, hey man, you'll fit. You're fine. And I'm like, what the hell? Why does it say 12-6? And I'm so confused, and I drive under it, and I fit. I guess it turns out, I've got a couple different stories from people, is they measure it in case there's ice on the road, or they measure it to the curb, which doesn't make sense. I name a time I'd be driving on the curb, right? But they label them 12-6. So I get through there, and I'm just freaking out. I'm like, my God. Well, we got through it, and I get to the place where I'm delivering, and pull into this little alley that's just big enough for, you know, two trucks to pass each other, barely, like you're bumping mirrors at that point. And this security guard is like running towards my truck very aggressively, and he starts yelling. He's like, what the hell are you doing here? I'm like, well, what do you think I'm doing here? I'm bringing you a load of beer. He's like, well, who's it for? I'm like, it's for you. The beer's for you. And I showed him the paper. Are you this company? He says, yeah, we're this company. I said, the beer's for you. And he goes, well, you have to leave. And I said, well, I don't understand what's going on right now. The beer's for you. You just confirmed it's for you. Where do you want me to go? And he says, well, you can't park here. And I was so confused because I'm like, look at the city. Where am I going to park? Where do you want me to park? And he shows me this door. Like, there's this dock door behind me. He says, back your trailer up to that. That way you'll be out of the way, and then we'll figure out where your load's going. And okay, I back up to the dock door, like he said. And then from across this little alley, this guy's like sprinting across there again, very aggressively. I'm not sure, you know what an aggressive sprint looks like?
He just looks
angry, running towards me. And he's waving his arms. And I'm a pretty laid back guy, right? So I got out of the truck. I'm like, what is it that you want from me? And he says, I want you backed up over here. I said, well, just a second ago, you said back up to this dock door. He says, yeah, but trucks can't pass through. And I said, that's not true. A truck just passed me. There's room. It's fine. And he just starts yelling. And I don't know what he's saying at this point. And I said, hey, man, I said, I'll park this truck wherever you want. But that is going to be the last time you yell at me. Do you understand me? And this guy tells me, he says, then you can leave. I said, I don't care. I don't want to be in the city anyway. I can leave. I don't care. Sign this paper saying you're rejecting the load. And he refused to sign the paper because he was security. He didn't work for the actual company. He was, you know, on a contract. Just sign the paper. I'll leave. I don't. Let me through your gate anyway, so I can turn around, or I'm just going to sit here all day. And he said, I ain't doing nothing. You're going to, you know, I'm trying to clean up the language for you guys a little bit. I don't know what's allowed here, but he said, you're going to come in here and disrespect me. And I was like, man, I don't understand. You were just yelling at me repeatedly for being here with the load that belongs to you. I don't understand what's going on. But what ended up happening is he refused to do anything. So I was parked right in front of his gate. And I just jumped in a bunk of my truck and played PS4 and blocked all traffic until he could do something about it. And then I told that story on my YouTube channel, and somebody from New York said, hey, well, that's just the way that we communicate up here. I said, well, have y'all ever considered communicating in a different way? You know, that would get a lot more done.
That's the truth.
So, boy, New York was wild. And even leaving there, I tried to make a left turn. A left turn. You guys are truck drivers. You get it. And almost took out the pole for the traffic light making a left turn. Like, my God, what is this place? And I've never went back. Never went back.
I do not blame you for not going back. I was in there. I was in New York two times for other companies I drove for, and I hated it. New York is such an unforgiving place to be, the city itself. I mean, upstate's nothing, you know, but you get into the city, it is just an unforgiving place. I don't blame you for jumping in your bunk and playing PS4. You got to distress somehow, you know?
Yeah. Truck in or out of there from where I was at, and I was like, I mean I don't know where else you want me to go. I couldn't very well back into the street, you know, so yeah, I just sat there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something similar to, like, I drive in the Philadelphia area a lot, and you know, it's not uncommon that you're trying to make a right-hand turn. Now, you know, Philadelphia is like New York in the sense that it's an old city and it wasn't meant for trucks. And so, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're in certain areas, like North Philadelphia, it's a nightmare, and it's not because the people or anything like that. It's because of the traffic, the volume of traffic on small roads that were not meant for trucks. And right. There are a lot of times, this is not an uncommon thing where, you know, you're in North Philadelphia and you're trying to make a right-hand turn, and there are people that, you know, stopping at a white line is optional in most people's minds, right?
Yeah.
So whenever you got to make that right hand turn, that's when they decide to come over the white line by 2.5 car lengths. And right. So you make that right hand turn and you need all that space. It's not uncommon for drivers to just pop their brakes, pull out their lunchbox, put it on the dashboard, pull a sandwich out and start eating in the middle of traffic. It's like, okay, well, if you're not going to back up, ain't nobody going anywhere, because I'm not backing up this 53 in North Philadelphia. You know?
Yeah. In those, you know, tighter cities like that in the Northeast, when people see a truck struggling, well, let me start over out here. When people see a truck that, you know, can't quite make the turn or whatever, they'll back up their car for you. And over there in the Northeast, they do, I guess, the only reasonable thing they can think to do and just lay on their horn. Well, that's not really helping anything at all.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'll make a public service announcement right here now that we're talking on the subject. Anybody who's parked or pulled over the white line and a truck is making a turn and he's having a hard time making that turn because you're over the white line, sometimes it helps, but most times in my experiences, it doesn't help. But around here, it happens all the time. People move forward thinking they're going to help you getting right. by. And it's like, don't move forward. Please don't move forward. If anything, back up, and the person behind you will get the hint and they'll back up. You created this mess and now you have to undo it.
You know? Right, right. And if you're going to move forward, just go for it. Get through the intersection, get out of there. and we'll all continue on our day. But yeah, laying on your horn and, you know, flipping off drivers, nobody continues their day. We all just sit there staring at each other.
Yeah. And it's funny, you mentioned earlier in the show about how it seems like, you know, right now we're being very appreciated in the industry because of what's going on, and we need to get the stuff, the supplies places and things like that. I really hope that people carry that through after this, you know, virus is over and everything returns back to normal. Remember the truck drivers, remember us out there, because, you know, without us, your life doesn't move forward. And, you know, just a little respect goes a long way, because if you think that you flipping us the bird, honking at us, is the first time we saw that today or this week, you're kidding yourself. You're probably right. The 10th person that did it to us, and it's getting old. And so if you show us respect and love on us and stuff, we're going to love you back, and we're going to get your groceries there maybe an hour early. So just, you know, just give us some love.
Yeah, it sounds like you're pretty familiar with my content. So when this is all over, there will definitely be a, you know, sort of a victory lap by me, you know, sort of in your face. Here's what we did for you. You know, I got to. I don't have a choice. I have to, you know, sort of remind people of not only what truck drivers did, but what so many people did through this. People stocking shelves. The list goes on and on. It's endless.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely is. I agree with that 100%. And getting back to that whole white line thing, that's not just a suggestion, people. That's the law. You're supposed to stop it behind that white line, not in front of that white line. You know, so many people treat their road rules, the laws of the road, as suggestions, not laws. That stop line is there for a reason. Use it.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. A common theme on my channel is you don't get to make your ignorance my problem.
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, man. And like, I've had people, again, in North Philly, I mean, that's the biggest city I've ever driven in. But, you know, I'm in North Philadelphia making a right hand turn, and I got people that are behind me driving onto the sidewalk to make that right hand turn and cut me off in the middle of me making the right hand turn. And I'm just like, guys, like, I mean, at some point, somebody's going to get crushed here, and it ain't going to be me, you know?
Right. Yeah. Driver walks away from that every time. The person in the car, not so much.
Exactly. And I don't think people quite understand sometimes how big, and like, they see how big we are, but you know, they think that their car that weighs 2,000 pounds is heavy. That ain't heavy. Like, I mean, our tires weigh that much, you know?
Right. So, yep.
We're hauling something that is like a nuclear bomb going down the road, and everybody who kind of cuts us off and deliberately brake checks us because we were going too slow for them, they don't realize that they're literally putting their lives at stake, because if a tractor trailer taps you, you're eating your bumper. Like, that's right. Just the way it works. And so yep. It's a very good idea if people start practicing patience and stuff. I know everybody needs to get to places and we're all in a rush and stuff, but maybe from this virus, if one good thing comes from, you know, being forcibly locked down in many places of the country, it is that, you know, our lives were forcibly slowed down, and it gives us a chance to maybe think about life in a different perspective and understand and maybe put things into perspective as to what's important and maybe what isn't so important that we would have been so upset about just a week ago. Life has changed in this country right now, and I don't think everything is going to go back to the way it was. I think there will be things that will, but I think there will be things that will be changed in our country in many different aspects of it because of what we're going through right now. I think we're starting to see our vulnerabilities, and we're starting to see how soft we are. And
right.
I think that's going to hopefully toughen us up a little bit back to maybe the toughness that our grandparents had growing up. So, Josh, with that said, man, I really appreciate you being here. And the conversation with you, Josh, has been a delight. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, like, that's the truth.
I came across your YouTube channel, and I was like, oh, this guy seems really interesting. And I watched some of your videos, but you're talking to the camera, so I wasn't sure if, you know, how the conversation would go. But man, listen, it's been really a great time talking to you, and you have some great insights. And I think we're going to have to definitely do this again one day and just kind of catch up.
Absolutely. Let me know. I'll do it anytime you guys want, for sure.
Oh, that would be fantastic. It'd be great to hear you again. And we'll keep a check on your channel. And if we can get that out there again, you want to give the address for that channel again, Josh?
Yeah, just search This Guy Trucks. The old URL had to do with my gaming stuff. So if you just search This Guy Trucks, you'll see a picture of my arrogant face on there. definitely This Guy Trucks. Like I said, it's not necessarily speaking to the masses, but speaking to a specific group that understands the world is changing, and let's move forward and roll with it.
Most definitely. It was really great talking with you, Josh. I really appreciate the conversation. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so once again, everybody, that is This Guy Trucks YouTube channel. This Guy Trucks with an S on the end of it. Go ahead, check it out. Give him a subscription or subscribe, because he's putting out a lot of content. If you want to see the inside of a trucker's life and stuff, Josh's channel is one of those channels to go follow. So Josh, once again, thanks for being here.
All right. Thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please share the show with your friends. That's the best thing you can do to help this show grow, is by sharing it with your friends. So if you're a driver out there and you love what you just heard, share it with all the other drivers. Share it at truck stops. We don't care where you share it, but share the show. And until next week, drivers, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. and my mind is somewhere else. But when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on me. I'll sit and tell you my stories. Shine on me, and I will find a song I will sing it just for you. And now I've been moving way too fast on the runaway train with a heavy load of my past. And these rails that I've been riding on, they're worn so thin that they're damn near gone. I guess now they just weren't built to last. Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sense of what I can, of where I'm going.